Welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Andrew Muller. This week, how potent a weapon of soft power is sport, really?
So the 2018 FIFA World Cup, ladies and gentlemen, will be organized in Russia.
About 10 months from now, the 2018 World Cup will kick off in Russia. As Russia did with the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014, it will do its best to improve the world's opinion of it through sport, as Qatar will with its World Cup in 2022. If either country had spent a fraction of the budget on history books, however, they would have learned that sport is almost always a lousy investment.
100 Meter Ausscheidungsläufe. Amerikas schnellster Läufer, Jesse Owens, ist am Start.
The idea of propagandizing through sport should have died of embarrassment at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Intended by Adolf Hitler to be a demonstration of the Nazi aesthetic and especially of Aryan superiority, the dominant figure of the games was the black American sprinter and long jumper Jesse Owens, who won 4 gold medals and set 3 world records. That German athletes topped the medal table was largely forgotten.
Owens liegt schon vorn, Strandberg hinter ihm, Rosenberg kämpft sich heran. Metcalf kommt, Ziel! Sieger im 100-Meter-Lauf, Jesse Owens.
With nothing apparently learned from this experience, in 1938 it was arranged for the German boxer Max Schmeling to visit the United States for a rematch, with undisguised undertones of racial, national, and ideological showdown with the black American boxer Joe Louis, who Schmeling had beaten 2 years earlier. This time, with war a more plausible prospect, President Franklin D. Roosevelt privately told Louis, "We need muscles like yours to beat Germany." Before 70,000 people at Yankee Stadium, Louis stopped Schmeling inside the round one bell.
Right to the body, a left up to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. The count is 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round.
Schmeling, no fan of the Nazis, later said he was almost happy he'd lost. Nobody has made a more concerted and ruthless attempt to exploit sport as an advertisement for political dogma than the Soviet Union. Often heedless of the rules of sport, notions of elementary decency, and the health of its own athletes, the USSR was successful up to a point. The Soviet Union topped the medal table at 6 of the 8 Olympic Games in which it competed, and further bountiful halls were plundered by its satellites. But the most remembered Cold War sporting confrontation is one the Soviets lost. At the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, the Soviets' mighty ice hockey squad of full-time professionals met America's team of college-age amateurs. The United States won 4-3 in what passed into legend as the Miracle on Ice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
Even aside from the unpredictability of results, there's another problem with using sport as propaganda, which is that in sport, as in most things, people see what they wish to. One person's phalanx of superhuman sentinels of a revolutionary dawn is another person's rabble of steroid-addled cheats. And there's the issue that athletes themselves tend, as exceptionally driven people do, towards the eccentric and untamable. The 1972 World Chess Championship between the American challenger Bobby Fischer and the Soviet champion Boris Spassky was seen as a test of the intellectual prowess of the ideologies of the rival superpowers, one in which Fischer, and therefore the United States, and free market democracy triumphed. This victory was somewhat tarnished, however, by the eventual realization that Fischer was a paranoid, anti-Semitic, conspirazoid crank who appeared to like the United States somewhat less than Nikita Khrushchev did. In late 1945, a few months after the end of the Second World War, Dynamo Moscow, the champions of what was then known as the Soviet Top League, visited Britain to play a selection of local teams on what would now be known as a goodwill visit. It wasn't. George Orwell, who knew propaganda when he saw it, wrote about Dynamo's tour for Tribune. "Serious sport," he wrote, "has nothing to do with fair play. It is bound up with hatred, jealousy, boastfulness, disregard of all rules, and a sadistic pleasure in witnessing violence. In other words, it is war minus the shooting." But in sport, as in war, there is almost always doubt about the outcome. Not for nothing is there considerable overlap between the sporting maxim of heavyweight champion Mike Tyson, to the effect that everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, and the military wisdom of the Prussian general Helmut von Moltke, that no plan survives contact with the enemy. That was The Foreign Desk Explainer. I'm Andrew Muller. For the full edition of The Foreign Desk, tune into Monocle 24 at midday on Saturday, or download it anytime you like after that from our website. Thanks for listening.